Now we come to our 12th overall message in this series, Preaching from Titus. And we come to our 7th in this series within a series, But Speak Thou the Things Which Become Sound Doctrine. Our text is taken from Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now, of course, in the context of that verse, Titus, Paul is instructing him to tell the people at Crete the things that become sound doctrine. Now, we said that sound meant good health, things that are healthy for you. You know, in our churches today, there's a lot of things being taught that is not healthy for the spiritual life. Now, we put great store as human beings on our physical health. I have paid more attention to that in the last few years, because the Bible does say, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But I wonder how much we pay attention to our spiritual health and those things that would be harmful to that. And then, of course, the doctrines are the teachings of the Bible, the teachings of Jesus Christ. And I've been going down several doctrines and just giving you a little bit about these doctrines. And these last doctrines, now, probably not the ones today, but the ones that I will be preaching on in the future, I'm going to spend just to probably, they have more of an outline with them, but I've just got scriptures for the doctrines I'm going to talk about today. Now, we come today to our, we come to our 12th doctrine, I believe, today. Let me make sure we're in the right place. Yes, we come to our 12th doctrine. And then today we're going to be talking about, first of all, we may get into other doctrines. We'll start right here with the doctrine of music. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about music. Father, would you help us as we look into these scriptures in Jesus' name? Amen. Now, we may get into some other doctrines. We'll see as we go here how time goes. Let's first of all go to the book of Ephesians when we talk about the doctrine of music and singing. Now, God has a principle in the Bible. He never does anything without a witness or a record. And here God, the record, of course, is always written down. And here God writes a verse in Ephesians, and he also writes a verse in Colossians that would govern the Christian's music. It is important what the Christian listens to. I want you to understand that. Now, some people say, well, I can listen to what I want to. I'm saved. I live by grace. I'm under grace. I can do anything I want to do. Well, I'm not going to waste my time arguing about that, but I'm going to say this to you. There's a judgment seat of Christ coming, and I want to be careful what I listen to, and you should be careful what you listen to in this day and hour. Now, in Ephesians chapter number 5, and you write these verses down, verse number 19, the Bible said, speaking to yourselves. Now, when we sing, who are we singing to? Yes, and we're going to find out later we are singing to the Lord, but we're also singing to each other. We're singing to each other. Now, singing is to edify the church. Singing is to uplift the believer. Now, you sure ain't going to get a song, some country song, I'm with my wife, but I got another woman in my mind and all this kind of stuff. You're not going to edify listening to that kind of music. Or, I went swimming in Possum Creek, some of this banjo picking, bluegrass. You're not going to get what you need from that, okay? I want you to understand that, all right? Now, the Bible has a specific way. You're speaking to your brothers and sisters in the songs when the choir's singing to the congregation. Now, personally, I like congregational singing. I really do. I think congregational singing, because the choirs, now choirs are good. There's nothing wrong with a church choir. Please do not misunderstand me. And don't go away and say, Brother Cothran is preaching against people singing in the choir. I never said that. If you say I said that, you're lying on me. Don't lie on me. Please don't do that. But I want to say to you that a lot of times if we ain't careful, we get a group of people together, even a quartet or a duo or a trio in the church, they perform more than they sing. And, to be honest with you, if you have to give somebody a ovation when they sing, that's more entertainment, if you want to know the truth about it. And I would be careful. Now, I know I run the risk of making people mad here, but I'd be careful about my children. You get little Sally and little Johnny up there to sing, and they're cute. That's great. But when you clap for them and cheer for them, you say, oh, we're building them up. Now hold on a minute. Are you really? Be careful what you do that they don't end up entertaining people instead of singing. Now, I'm going to give you something. It's a little bit hard, but it's right, okay? All the Bible's not banana pudding. When I was, when my family was first saved, we had a preacher. I try not on the radio when I'm preaching these messages because they might be played back and other things. I try not call men's names that are still living. If they're dead, I might use them, their names, the illustration. But there's a pastor, and this pastor of mine, he's still living. He's a good friend of mine to this day. And so when my family got in church in 1975, 76, 77, those areas, my daddy, me and my brother started singing a little bit at home. We picked the songs up and all that kind of stuff. And my daddy went to the preacher and he said, "Would you let my boys sing in church?" And the preacher told my daddy, there's not a church in the country that would have this standard today, but I think it's a good standard. And this is not pharisaical, it's helpful, it's sound doctrine. Listen, the preacher said to my daddy, "Harold," he said, that's my daddy's name, my daddy's in heaven. He said, "Harold," he said, "I'd rather those boys get saved first." Now, I want you to listen to me. Now, on the surface, you may think that's a hard statement. But if my daddy had have got us singing before we got saved, we might not ever have got saved. Because the devil would have used that, and the devil did use it. The devil did use it in another way. I tell you exactly what happened. Well, that preacher didn't let us sing. But anyway, later on in church, we started singing, and we had a different preacher, and that preacher was gone. Another preacher came by, so we started singing, and I was saved. I got saved, but my brother was not saved. Now, I'm going to tell you something I've never told on the radio before. I've never told this anywhere before. I'm going to tell you here, and I probably ought not tell. I don't know. I hope my brother's all right with me saying something about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. My brother came to me several years ago. We were young boys, and we were singing in church. Now, I was not a preacher then, and we had a certain engagement. We were going to sing at a certain church that night, and my brother came to me, and he said, "Ricky," he said, "I think I'm going to go get saved tonight." He said, I don't believe I'm saved. Now, I want you to listen. I want you to listen. This is heart gripping, but I want you to listen. I really don't even want to tell it, but I'm going to tell it. Me being the wise guy and smarty that I thought I was and had all the answers, my little pride swelled up in my heart. And I said, "Doug, we're going to sing. Now, don't you dare do that. Don't do that, you know." Well, let me tell you something. It was more than my brother doubting his salvation. My brother almost went to hell because of that. I remember one night staying up all night almost praying for my brother about all night he'd get saved. And it was years later. Now, you listen to me. It was years later before my brother got saved by the grace of God. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not saying that your kids can't sing church, and I've dug a hole for myself, and somebody's going to say, I'm just simply telling you that you'd better be careful about your kids. You say, "But I want my kids to do something in church." Let them do it in time. Let them wait. You see, we're losing more of the young people today than we've ever lost in our life. And listen, we're doing more for them than we've ever done. I'm going to tell you what we're doing. We're coddling them and cradling them, and we're losing them. What we need to do is let God work. We give the Holy Spirit no chance to work in our young people's lives. Now, please don't get mad at what I'm saying, okay? I'm going to get off that because I've dug a deep ditch there, and I feel like that some folk maybe misunderstood what I said. I didn't say young people couldn't sing in church, but I'm saying be careful. Now, we're to sing. Now, let me go on. Let's do Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, let me stop right there. There are three categories of singing that the Christian is supposed to be involved in. I'm going to tell it like the Bible tells it, and I'm going to tell it straight. If it's not those three categories, we should have nothing to do with it. Okay? I know that we have a big thing now of people just singing whatever, but I'm going to say this to you, that it's still psalms, hymns, and spiritual. The psalms are in the Bible. "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." The hymns would be "Amazing Grace, how sweet." Now, that's him. And then spiritual songs are those that are spiritual, that's got the Spirit of God on them. It's not this gospel rap of today. It's not this contemporary music that you dance by. Listen. Dancing to music in the house of God is blasphemy. I want you to understand that. Some church said, we have our dance team. That is blasphemy. You didn't get that out of the Bible. Now don't come to me saying, well, David danced. Yes, he did, but it was a different kind. David was praising God. And some of you say, oh, but we're praising God. You're not praising God when you put girls up there dancing in front of the congregation. Now listen, friends, somebody needs to call that out. Somebody needs to tell the truth, okay? You say, well, I don't like that preacher, and I don't think you ought to get on the radio and say that. Well, I'm going to say this to you. It's high time some preacher again thundered out and preached against sin and preached against what's wrong and preached for what is right. We've went off in the world so much till we don't even know who we are today. Amen. Psalms, hymns. By the way, some of y'all think I'm too hard. I asked an older preacher not long ago, and if I called his name, most of you know him. I'm on the radio, and most of you would know this man. And I called his name, and I said, brother, maybe I should just kind of slack off. I said, I preach a little bit hard sometimes. You know, I feel like I say things maybe a little bit pointed. I said, maybe I should just slack off just a little bit. And he looked at me. He said one word to me. Why? Why? I mean, why would we preach different today than we did 10 years ago? Now, I want to be kind. The Bible said, let your moderation be known to all men. I love all of you. I'm not perfect. But praise the Lord. Amen. But I am forgiven by His grace. Amen. But I'm not perfect, but I'm forgiven. But let me help you. Let me help you. But there's three kinds of something. I tell you this, there's something that hurts me. If you study the history of the hymns, and I like doing that, it hurts me to see this new modernistic, a lot of it comes out of the Southern gospel movement. They'll take these hymns and juice them up, and then our people have lack of spirituality in the churches. They get up there and juice that hymn the way they heard it on the radio. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In our radio ministry, we ain't changing our music style. I'm not going to change it for anybody. If we have to close the stations down and dissolve the corporation or the ministry, whatever you call it, the incorporation, I refuse to change to the new modern music of today. I'm not going to do it. I will not do it. Now you say, preacher, you playing songs about it. That's why there's not a lot of good spiritual songs being written today. There are some. There are some young people that are writing good songs, and I praise the Lord that they are. Amen. Praise God that they're writing good songs. Amen. But not all of them are. But we ought to stay with that. By the way, in our churches, we ought to stay with what's right. Amen. Amen. All right, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now the singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now when we sing, we're to make melody in our heart to the Lord. Amen. A melody is a pleasant sound. Amen. And we're to make that to the Lord. Now, let me read to you also Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now I believe here's the key to your songwriting. Now listen, for years, really didn't understand why God put this verse, these words together in this same verse. But let's look at Colossians. Take your Bibles. Listen, don't just take my word for it. As we're preaching on the radio, take your Bible and let the Holy Spirit help you. Say, preacher, you've said some things, and I'm not convicted about that like you said. Let me do this. Take your Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to have preeminence in your life. And let's look at these scriptures together. Would you do that with me? And I'm just slowing down right now. You know, the object is not to get through a series. If God tells me to go somewhere else, I'll quit this series in the middle and go somewhere else. And I may not be popular with you, but I would do that. The object on the radio is for me to help you. I've had two letters in the past year on the radio. And both of them said something to the effect of that I preach it simple. I know there are those out there that listen to me and they say to me, preacher, you're too simple-minded. You need to get some Bible knowledge. Well, I'm going to say this to you. I've got what the Lord will let me have. But I praise the Lord that I have not gotten too deep in things that I still can't preach simple to the common people of this land. I preach to truck drivers and mail carriers and doctors, and I preach to policemen, and I preach to border patrol agents, and I preach to the construction workers and nurses and young people and young preachers and older men. I preach to them, and I love you. I'll never meet most of you in life, but I love you, and I want to help you. If I can help you, I want to help. Now, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Now let's stop right there, in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Now, do you know why the hymns are enduring? Because the people that wrote your hymns were filled with the word of God. I'm going to say something. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be ugly. But it is almost embarrassing today how little the Christian knows of the Bible. It is almost. I tell you what you do. You go in the kids. Now, I'm talking years ago. I was lost. I grew up in a drunkard's home. But I knew more Bible in Sunday school, probably by listening to the teacher. I learned quickly, and I didn't understand the Bible. I didn't know it in a spiritual sense, but I knew like some things. I mean, you know, like the miracles and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what Jesus did, raised the blind man, all that. And what I'm trying to say is that then these kids today, if you want to know how poorly the Bible is taught in our homes, go into your kid's Sunday school class, ask them 20 questions about the Bible and see what kind of answers you get. And you're going to find out if mom and daddy's teaching right. Matter of fact, a lot of people that go to church today, mom and daddy don't even think enough of the church where they attend, and they don't even think enough of their kids to get them in Sunday school. Now, friend, you're a poor example of a parent if you don't get your kids to Sunday school. Amen. Oh, you make them go to public school. You'd rather them learn about way back in the beginning of time. I don't know exactly when I was a tadpole with my tail tucked in, or when I was a tadpole and a frog with my tail tucked in, and a monkey in a coconut tree, and I fell out and became a man with a PhD. You'd rather send them over there and let them learn that stuff. But you can't get out of the bed on Sunday morning time to get to Sunday school so they can learn about the Bible. Now listen, that ain't hard preaching. That's just right preaching, all right? Amen. Somebody said, preacher, that's hard preaching. Your religion's too soft. It ain't my preaching that's the problem. Amen. I love you. I'm not mad at nobody. I love all of you. But I'm just simply telling you that here's the key to it. Now, let me give you my point. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And in the same verse, he's going to talk about singing. Any songs, and I realize a lot of these songs ain't 100% scriptural. A lot of songs we all play on the radio ain't 100% scripture. We'd have to throw every song we got away almost, because songs are written by men. But wait a minute. There are songs there that touch my heart and touch your heart. And when a song is written with the songwriter being filled with the Word of God, it makes a difference. See, when you get filled up with God's Word, I ain't talking about getting filled up with emotion. I'm not even talking about at this point getting filled up with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about filled with the Word. I'm talking about your life governed by the Bible. You know something about the Bible. You're going to know when a song is right and when it's wrong. You say, well, preacher, what? How do I know? I can sit down in 1 minute and somebody can play a contemporary song on a recording. And I can tell you if it's right, and it ain't right. No contemporary song's right. But I can tell you if these songs are right or wrong, just in a split second almost, I can tell you why. If you study your Bible, you're going to know. By the way, music played a big part in it. I mean, Moses had that crowd, Aaron had that crowd naked. They were committing fornication. They were doing awful things. And the sound of singing was heard. Music and singing is involved in the devil's work. Now, I'm going to get into that a little bit later. I'm going to show you something. Now, hold on a minute. Let's don't jump ahead. I'm jumping ahead here. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. All right. Then he said this, teaching and admonishing one another. That's warning and teaching. That's one another. Again, the church family in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what singing's for? It is to teach each other. Now, nowhere here do you find that God told us to sing to the lost world. Now, I want to say this. God has not chose the foolishness of singing to save anybody. Now, we need to get our doctrine in order. Singing is to edify the body of Christ, the believers. It is to build each other up. It is to admonish. It is to warn us. It is to, what did he say here? He said teaching and admonishing. When songs is for teaching. But we're to sing to each other. Churches, the family of God is to sing to each other. Now somebody said, well, God's called me to sing to witness the Word of God. No, that's not in the Bible. God's not called anybody to sing. Nowhere in the Bible did God call. Now, God may give you a talent. There's a difference between a talent and a calling. God's not called anybody to sing. God may give you a talent to sing. And that singing ought to be used for the glory of God, but it ought to be within God's realms. Amen. Now, let me go over here and just tell you this. There may be other places in the Bible, maybe I've not studied it well enough, but this one verse I know about that talks about singing before the creation of the world, or when the world was created. Now you remember that in Job, God had an unusual conversation with Job in Job chapter number 38. And in Job 38, verse number 7, I want to show you something. Job 38, verse number 7. The Bible said when the morning stars sang together, it's talking about when the foundation of the world was laid, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, there was a day when God created this heaven and the earth, and the angels and the angelic beings, the heavenly creatures, sang and shouted for joy. How about that? So singing was around a long, long time ago. Singing, God records it at the beginning of creation. It could have been even before that. Jesus himself sung. The Bible said they sang a hymn and went out. Jesus himself was a singer. He sung. All right. Now, let me go on, but I want to show you now. I want to show you now and the doctrine of music and singing. Now, I want to show you. I want to be nice, and I want to be sweet, as only I can be. I love you. I want to help you, but I want to show you now the devil. Now, remember this. The devil was there at the beginning of creation. The devil was a angelic being or some kind of created being. He was created. He was an unusual creature. He was first in God's creatures, and the devil was there on that day when they sang and shouted. Now, here's what happened. When the devil left heaven, he got kicked out of heaven. The devil remembered that he sang on the day of creation, there's no doubt. And so now the devil is a perverter. Let me give you an illustration. In the Garden of Eden, Eve is and Adam are in that garden, right? The devil entered into the serpent, which is more subtle than the beast of the field. Now, I don't know, and I used to believe they did, but I don't now. Animals are not supposed to talk. If I went home and my cat, Blackberry, said to me, "Hey, Ricky, how are you today?" Me and her one would be leaving. Probably me. If you want to know the truth about it, probably me. She'd have the house. She'd have the land. I mean, I'm gone. I'm done with it. I'm in a talking cat. I'm not going to know, sir. Now listen, the devil entered into that serpent. And Eve was so taken by something out of the ordinary, something that dazzled her, and frazzled her and caused her to sin, that she listened to something. If you go home and your dog talks to you, you're going to stand and listen to it? Why, brother, the devil, that's his whole trick. And down through time, he has perverted. Now, so he's took the thing of singing, and the devil has perverted and misused singing. And it's in our churches. Our young people today, they'll tell you, I was talking to somebody one time, and they said, "I like my music." Young people today, a lot of the young people would rather have, not all young people, but a lot of young people would rather have their music than they would the preaching of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to say this without apology. It's time us preachers quit hiding and quit being afraid to say anything, afraid we're going to lose a dollar, or we're going to lose a friend, or we're going to lose a church. I want to tell you something. Preaching's what God's always chose to get people saved, and preaching will do until the Holy Spirit takes the church out of here. It'll be by preaching. And if you don't like preaching, then you don't like God's order. Amen. Amen. All right, make no apology. Now, I want to turn over, and I want you to go with me. I want you to go with me to the book of Ezekiel, if you would, please. The book of Ezekiel. I'm looking at Ezekiel chapter number 28, verse number 13, and this is talking about Satan himself. Ezekiel chapter number 28, and I'm going to verse number 13, and I want you to look at this. The Bible says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, I want to stop right there. Now, the devil was an unusual creature. The devil started out with God in the garden of God. A lot of those stones, it's very interesting that those stones are mentioned in the breastplate, I believe every one of them, in the breastplate where the priest wore in the book of Exodus. The devil was some type of covering cherub. I don't understand all of that. We will, we get to heaven. And so the devil, his tabrets and his paps were prepared, his workmanship. God prepared those in him. Now, one fella said this, that the devil is the only creature that can carry a four-part harmony with himself. I do not know. I don't know that to be true. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. I'm going to say that I agree with that. The devil is a master musician. The devil's not a sorry musician. He's a master musician. I want to read again from the bottom part of that verse. The Bible said, the workmanship of thy tabrets, and that's where you get your word tambourine from, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. God created the devil for beauty and for music. God, the devil, no doubt could sing better than any of God's creatures. And when the devil fell out of heaven, he took that with him. And now down through time, the devil reintroduced music on the earth. Now I'm going to show you how he did it. I'm using the Bible. I'm in the King James Bible. I'm using the Bible. Now get your Bibles, and I want you to go, and I love every one of you. Amen. Amen. I want you to go with me now to the book of Genesis chapter 4. And I want to show you how the devil introduced music to civilization. Now, in chapter 3 of Genesis, you have the fall of Adam and Eve. And God puts a curse on man and on the woman and the serpent. In chapters 4 and 5, in chapter 4, you have the seed line of Cain, the ungodly seed. In chapter 5, you have the godly seed of Seth and that seed line. Now, if you take Genesis chapter 4 and you study that chapter verse by verse, you're going to find perversion on every corner. From the children of Cain, they were intelligent people. They wasn't a bunch of, hillbillies sitting back in the hills. They were, and I'm not making fun of hillbillies. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not making fun of nobody. But I'm saying these people were smart. They built cities. They built civilization. But they did it without God. They built government without God. Okay? And that reminds you of anybody today, United States. They also, that's where the man with two wives, he married two wives at a time. He married one, then another. That's where that started, from the seed line of Cain. They were really perverted. The devil perverted marriage. He perverted life. And also he perverted music. Let me show you that. Genesis chapter 4, he reintroduces music to the earth, but he does it in a perverted manner. The Bible said, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. Now this man took two wives. He wasn't supposed to do that, but he did. Verse 20. And Ada bare Jubal. He was Jabal. The Bible said, Ada bare Jabal. And the Bible said, and let me just go back, all right? The devil don't like my reading, that's okay. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. All right, Jabal. All right, now, verse number 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. This man brought singing. Now listen, Cain didn't know God. The Bible started out in Genesis 4 that Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. That means this whole seed line was from the presence of God. They built cities. By the way, you can do anything and not have the presence of God on you. Do you know that? Why, Amanda, you say, but preacher, these preachers are so intelligent. Let me tell you something. Intelligence is not what you look for in preaching. Deep things are, but preacher, I want to grow in the deep things. All right, that's good. But get you a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to make a statement on the radio. Any man that will use another version of the Bible is not filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that. You can mark that down. These Bible teachers that, oh, but they help you understand it, but there's not a Bible version out there that'll help you understand the Bible better than the King James Bible. Amen. I'm not going to argue that with you. I'm just telling you facts. All right. Now, I love you. All right. You may not love me, but I love you. Okay. You say, preacher, you just preached against my favorite preacher. There's enough fundamental Bible preachers still preaching. By the way, preachers, that's why we ought to be teachers and preachers and try to help people. Amen. They're looking for something from the Word of God. Now, but this man perverted music. Now, that's why you have rock music, country music, bluegrass music. All of that's not of God. All right. Now, I didn't say bluegrass gospel. Bluegrass gospel's all right. Amen. But bluegrass within itself is not godly. Country is not godly. Why in the world would you want to sing? Now, one fellow said if you can play them rock records back and you can hear demons in them, they said if you play a country song back, you can get your dog, your car, and your wife all back in the same verse. And I'm just saying this to you, that all that stuff in America, we've raised a generation on soap operas and country music in the 70s and 80s. I want to ask you, where's it left us? Where's it left us? The majority of the kids that I went to school with some good kids. But a lot of, there are some of the boys and girls that I went to school with are men and women. Now, they're in church and they're doing good. And I thank God they are. I'm glad they are. But there's a majority of them that are not. There's a lot of kids in my home church that I grew up with. And some of them are living for God. Some of them ain't. Now listen, friend, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. It goes back to the home and how we're raised at home. And not just at the church should our music be right, hello. But our music ought to be right in the home. Our music ought to be right in our car radios and our car phones and satellites or whatever you got. We ought to be playing the right kind of music. Amen. Amen. This message ain't cost you anything. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to turn you off. Well, a cat always does jump out of your lap when you rub his fur the wrong way. Amen. But anyway, I'm just, no. But seriously, I love you. I love you. Amen. You ought to know that I love you. Brother Ricky loves you. And I'm just trying to tell you that there's nothing better than God's music. Now, you can do what you want to do. I'm not going to fuss at you. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my time and what little talent I got, and when I sing Glass Breaks and They Fly Heaven's Flag at Half Mass, and Asaph refused to lead the heavenly choir, and David says, what a mess. But I'm just what God gave me. God gave me a good set of lungs. I can holler from here to China. Amen. God gave me a good set of lungs. And I'm going to sing for the glory of God. As long as God gives me breath, I'm going to sing, and I'm going to preach, and I'm going to love the Lord. Amen. Let me read you some verses. Psalm 150. Verse number 3, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. And now that's not dancing to worldly rock music with gospel words. That's praising the Lord. You ever seen anybody run up and down the aisle shouting? That's the type of dancing in God. Amen. That's what David did, walking and leaping. That lame man went in the temple, walking and leaping. It ain't dancing to a bunch of rock music, bunch of rock beat music. That's not what he's talking about at all. All right? Now, you can run that back in the Greek or anything you want to, the Hebrew. It'd be the Hebrew here. But some of you spend your life running backwards. Amen. I'm going to go forward. All right? I love you. I'm not mad at you. All right? I use the Greek and the Hebrew myself, but I'm not going to use it to explain the Word of God away. All right? Praise Him with stringed instruments. Hallelujah. Did y'all get that? That's all I'm going to say about it, except I'm going to say it one more time. Praise Him with stringed instruments. Amen. By the way, pianos, organs have strings in them. Amen. And organs. Verse number 5. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And he ended that verse and said in verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. That's one of the hallelujah psalms. Let me tell you that God loves praise in songs. God loves for you to sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to Him. I've told you this story on the radio. Many times I've told this story. 50 years ago, my mama got saved, 1975. This is the year of her 50th salvation year. And I've thought much about it this year. And I was sitting on the little swing set at old Ed Helms' old farmhouse. And I heard something coming from in the house. I went in there, and my mama was singing. And I said, Mama, what are you doing? She said, Son, I got saved. And she said, I promised the Lord I'd sing 5 songs a day to Mama to work up at that old chair factory. And she'd come home and sing. Hey, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Boy, I love people that sing with God on them, don't you? When they got God on them, you don't have to worry about them entertaining, man. I mean, listen, when you got God, you say, how do you know people, how will people know when I got God on me? They'll know and you'll know. Boy, we ought to praise Him in songs. It's all about Jesus Christ. It ain't about how good our praise and worship team can sing. You don't find that in the Bible. You don't find a praise and worship team nowhere in the Bible. It ain't about how good that. Listen, get back to some good old hymn singing in your churches. Get back to the things that built your church. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and you can get mad at me if you want to. This contemporary church movement never built anything. They've destroyed a lot of stuff. They've never built anything. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Get back to what works, preachers. You say, if I do, my people leave me. Let them leave and have service with the five you got. Don't worry about it. Amen. If you have to go to work frying chicken on third shift, amen, you do what God tells you. I love you. I'm not mad at nobody. I'm not mad at you. I'm just sitting telling you, boy, wouldn't it be good in America again? I mean, listen, we've got a few good Christian radio stations in America. We ain't got many. Listen, everything that puts religious words on it ain't a Christian station. I want you to know that. Amen? Amen. All right, now I'm going to go on. I love you. I already riled enough people up today. Psalm 96, verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Now, I'm going to stop right there. He said, sing unto the Lord a new song. That means you ought to be writing some songs. We've got some people that do write songs. Thank God for songwriters. Amen. I'm glad for some of you young people that are writing songs. I've listened to some of your music, and I'm for it. I thank God for you. Keep on writing those songs, young people. Amen. Right. The young lady, you may not preach, but you can write a song. I know some good, godly young ladies. I'm thinking of two young ladies right now. They I don't know if they know each other or not, but both of them have wrote some good songs, and I thank God for their songs. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me read to you Psalm 96, verse number 2. The Bible said, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Now that word salvation there, you say, well, preacher, is that talking about singing? No, but it's talking about showing God's deliverance. Amen. Verse number 3 says, declare His glory among the heathen. In other words, there's nothing wrong with singing about God's salvation to the heathen. They still need to hear preaching. Amen. His wonders among all people. There's nothing wrong with singing about God. The world needs to turn on and hear, and they'll get hungry. If the world turns on a Christian radio station and they hear about God's works, they'll get hungry. They'll start listening to some preaching too, you see. Singing prepares the heart for the preaching. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you go into church and sing, and you have some awful crazy singing, it quenches the spirit so bad in the preaching. And I got to be honest with you. I'm going to make some people mad if I say that, but... Some of this music that's played, not all of it, but some of it that's played through the sound systems and all that. I tell you, boy, you talk about quenching the spirit. I know some of y'all don't like that. I know you say you're old fashioned. You're wrong. I'm Bible. Amen. I'm not that old fashioned stuff. I don't know about that, but I'm Bible. Amen. I am in the old paths. I put it with, I love you. Now, I'm not trying to make nobody mad. Hey, I'm just preaching the way all the old preachers used to preach. Amen. I'm not changed from the Bible. Amen. Some of y'all thought I compromised and went off the deep end, quit preaching, didn't I? I love you. I'm not mad. I'm not preaching like this to make me a hero. I'm not preaching that way. I'm not. But what I'm trying to tell you, make myself a hero. What I'm trying to tell you is that we got to say things sometimes. But now we ought to sing. We ought to sing with God. Now, verse number 4, Psalm 96, verse number 4. The Bible says, "For the Lord is great." Boy, He is, ain't He? "And greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." You know what? You know what? Our God is so great. Why not praise Him in song? Amen. Oh, that God would give us some good, godly song leaders. Amen. I'm thinking of a dear older man right now. Boy, he's in his church, and I preach in his ear on the radio. And he's one of the greatest song leaders I have ever heard. And when I was at his church and worked out of that church, I always enjoyed that man leading the singing. He's one of the best song leaders. And brother, he keeps it right. He keeps that singing right. Amen. Our song leader at our church, he keeps it right. He told me, "I'm trying to keep the singing right." And listen, you song leaders, keep it right. I know you're going to have opposition. You're going to have opposition from some of your own church people, because people like a new thing. People want what's downtown. Well, I say this in love, but if they want what's downtown, let them go downtown and get it. Don't do it in your church. Amen. You keep all four of your tires on the pavement. I know that's a little bit harder than you've heard me in a long time, but listen, I love you, folk. But listen, we need revival in America. We need a stirring of God in America. We need God to do something. And brother, we need some good old-fashioned singing again. It's kind of sad, you know, nowadays when they have to play the some of these stations will go back and they'll get some of them old songs out and they'll call it gospel gold. Well, let me say something about that. It ought not be gospel gold. It ought to be gospel every day. I had a phone call years ago. You know, we play conservative music on our stations, and if you ain't got a radio station in your area, download our app and listen to our music. Amen. And one day they called me out of Nashville, Tennessee, and they said to me, they got talking to me about my stations and what I played and all that. And so they said, well, how do you make it? I said, well, you wouldn't understand it. They said, no, tell us. I said, no, you don't need me to tell. I said, you wouldn't understand. And they said, well, tell us how you make it on the stage. How do you make a stage? Go playing that old music, playing that old gospel music, the old stuff. I said, well, I'll tell you if you really want to know. They said, we want to know. I said, the Holy Ghost. And I was right. They didn't understand it. Let me tell you something. There is something about you turning a radio on or an internet station on and the Spirit of God being on. I'd rather have the Spirit of God on my little radio stations. You may think they're run rinky-dink. You may not like the way we play our music. Listen. You may not like everything we do. That's okay. I'm not mad at you. But bless your heart, I'd rather have what we've got. The other night, my wife was in the grocery store the other evening. And if I go in the grocery store, our grocery bill goes up too much, so I stay in the car. But I was in the car and I decided I'd scan the dial. Just, you know, go down the dial of the radio station. And you know, I found one of our stations on the dial, and I go down to the dial and I found the other one. And I said to myself, I didn't find anything better on that radio dial than what we play at GBI. I'm honest with you, sitting in the parking lot of that grocery store in my local area. I'm just saying this to you. Thank God for some stations. And by the way, when these stations have their share-a-thons, you ought to give on them. You ought to help on them. You ought to promote good, godly singing. You ought to promote. And brother, if it ain't godly singing, don't promote it. Amen. Well, that's enough about the doctrine of singing. I feel that I've said enough about that. Now, we're going to move on. We'll go ahead and start another doctrine. We'll have to quit in the middle probably and take it up on the next message, but it'll be all right. I want to move now to another doctrine. All right, it's so sort of hard to switch gears in the middle of a message, but I'm preaching to you, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine from the book of Titus. And this is my seventh message in these doctrines, and I do need to hurry along, I guess, in some respect. I mean, I want to stop where the Holy Ghost stops me, and then where he tells me to speed up, then I'll speed up. I want to talk to you next about the doctrine of sin. The doctrine of sin. Now, I want you to get your Bibles. Now, I want you to turn with me somewhere. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Now, I want to talk to you about the doctrine of sin. I preached, there's a young man right now who's in a fundamental Bible-believing church. I know his pastor. And there's a young man in this church right now, and he'll tell you, if you talk to me, he said, preacher, I was listening to you preach a series on sin, and he said, God got a hold of me, and he changed his life, turned his life around, found him a girl, got married a good, godly young lady, and is in church serving the Lord right now. And thank God, young man, that you did that. Amen. I'm glad the Bible helped you. It wasn't Ricky Cawthorn, but it's the Bible. I'm glad it helped you. Now, let me read to you Romans 5, verse number 12. The Bible said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In other words, it's like this. God put a tree in the Garden of Eden. God put Adam there, and then God made Eve. And God commanded Adam, don't eat of that tree. It was Adam's responsibility to tell Eve not to eat of that tree. No doubt when Eve became a living creature, a soul, God said, Adam said to her, now Eve, here's the rules. There's one tree over there you don't eat of. All right, now the eating of the tree, and by the way, it was literal fruit, for those of you who try to make the Bible say something it don't say. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. The sin was the rebellion. God said no, and they did anyway. Now listen. That happens in our churches every day. That happens in our homes every day. The preacher says don't do it. And people do it anyway. What is it? It's rebellion. People are born rebellious. You know, even animals are rebellious. Did you know that? They are. I have a bag of mulch and some fertilizer laying out there in my little car seat. And one of my little cats got up on that thing, clawing that bag. I said, "Get off that bag. You're gonna tear it open." And he got off. And he climbed back and gone. He got off, and I'd get him off every time. So, matter of fact, this morning, before I started coming, you know where that cat did? He went and jumped on my bag of mulch, trying to tear. I said, "Get off there. You're going to tear my." You know what he did? He took off. The next time he got on, he just looked at me and saw me and took off. Now, you're going to tell me it ain't rebellion? If a cat knows, what about a human being? Now, so Adam and Eve's in the garden. We already covered that. And the devil comes by. He gets into the serpent, and that serpent's talking. And boy, Eve just, man, she's tucked away with that. And so and that serpent talks her out of her life, basically. And the Bible said in the next verses that we're going to read to you, "For the wage of sin is death." I'll cover that verse in a minute. But brother, by one man, Adam sinned with his wife, and sin entered all the world. Now, the word sin means this. It means missing the mark. It means an offense. Now, let me say this to you. We can't help but sin because we are born sinners. All right, the Bible said a babe come forth of his mother's womb speaking lies. Why, babies will lie. You think they don't. But a little baby sit there and cry and cry and cry, and mama get it and it just coo like a dove. That baby's lied somewhere. Amen. I want to read you a verse. Now listen to this verse. None of us are good. You say, "Preacher, I'm going to heaven on my good works." How in the world can you go to heaven on your good works? When God said your righteousness are as filthy rags, I had a man illustrate that one time. He took some rags and dipped them in motor oil. Ugh. And he pulled them out there in the tree. It was the awfulest smell you ever smelt in your life. I never forgot that. Amen. Now, Psalm 51:5, behold. Stop. Pay attention now. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I was born a sinner. Now, up until the age of accountability, and that means that when I hear the word of God and can understand it, for some it might be 5 years old, for some 10, for some 12. For me, it was about 10, 11 years old I began to understand the Bible. And I began to understand that I was lost without God. And God saved my soul. God dealt me a long time before I got saved. God dealt with me a long... Well, I look back on that, God didn't have to. You wasn't obligated to deal with me, but one time, what if I'd have died at 11 years old? You say, "Oh, no, preacher, at 11 years old, you wouldn't have went to hell." Oh, yes, I would have. I heard the gospel. 10 years old, 1977, I was under such deep conviction, brother. I mean deep, deep Holy Ghost conviction. If I had died, I'd have burned in the same hell Hitler's in. Now, I believe there's degrees in hell. I might not have suffered as much as he did, but I would have burned in hell. You said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Wait a minute. Hold your mule a minute. I didn't say God sent babies to hell. You're covered until the age of accountability, whatever that age is. It's not necessarily 12 years old. It varies in people. But I was born a sinner. You was born a sinner. You said, "Preacher, I'm going to heaven because I've been a good person." No, you ain't. No, you've not been a good person. I can tell you right now, and you ain't going to heaven either. If you're depending on that to get you to heaven, you will not make it there, my friend. I'm sorry to tell you, you won't go there. Psalm 58, verse number 3 says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Why, baby, it hurts to say, don't take you. How long does it take you to sin as soon as you're born? Why? Because you're a sinner. Now, listen, you had to have somebody take your place on Calvary's cross and die for your sins, and that's Jesus Christ. He did that. He died for your sin. He took your sin. Remember John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He takes it away. Jesus Christ took our sins away. Amen. On Calvary's cross. Amen. Now, it's up to you whether you accept Him or not, but He took our sins away. Now, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All. Oh, you say, "Preacher, I've never sinned." Oh, yes, you have. You say, "Preacher, I'm keeping the law to go to heaven." You couldn't keep the law if you wanted to keep the law. You can't do it. Why, if you look on a woman to lust after, you commit adultery in your heart. If you thought, if you wanted your neighbor's wheelbar, if you wanted your neighbor's tractor, you've committed sin, you see. There you go. All right. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Lord, let me tell you something. Saved or lost, when you sin, it's going to bring on death in the end of it. If you're saved and you're willfully sinning and you're backslid on the Lord and you won't get right with God, you're willfully going to bring death. God will kill you. God's still in the burying business. I want you to understand that. Some preachers don't preach it. Some people don't believe it. But I tell you, just because men don't preach it, don't make it wrong. Don't make it right. God, if you're saved by the grace of God, God will not let you continue living sin. God chastened David, and I believe if David kept on going what he's doing, God would have killed him. I believe that with all my heart. I believe God would have killed him. Amen. The Bible said that, and David said the man ought to die, and the prophet said that your sin's been pardoned. But I want to tell you today, God will, listen, brother, God does not tell the wages of sin. Every week I get what's called a check. We're still old-fashioned around here. I get a check. You know what? That's supposed to be my wages for what I've done that week. Brother, let me tell you something. Now, I'm not going to stand and answer for sin and the sense of whether I'm going to heaven or hell. But I'll tell you one thing. In the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to answer for the deeds done in this body. And I'm going to answer for when I've gotten out of the will of God and made a mess of things and brought a shame on Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something. All right, now let me go on. Now, I want to talk to the Christian for a minute. Now, I want to show you something in the latter minutes of this message. I want you to open your Bibles. James chapter 1, verse 13. I want you to open your Bible to James chapter 1, verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse number 14, the Bible said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And the Bible said, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin's not finished instantly. Some of you sitting there watching pornography on the computer, your wife don't know it. That's sin. Listen, God may not judge you today, he'll get you tomorrow. Some of you women may be into that. You may be having an affair on your husband. God will catch up with you. Be sure your sin will find you out. God told them in the book of Numbers. He said, they said, we're going to go over there and we're going to help our brethren, but we're going to stay in this land. He said, all right, if you'll do that. But he said, if you don't go, be sure your sin will find you out. I'll tell you what, your sin's going to find you out, friend. You can't hide from God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you can't hide. Preacher, you're sinning behind the church's back and they don't know it. They will find it out. You'd do better off just to confess it and get right with God. Amen. They will find it out. I'm telling you, God will expose it. Amen. And listen, brother, sin leads to death. You starts out with your lust. Fella, you start out just flirting with somebody's wife, talking to her when you ain't got no business doing it. Listen, you got no business being friends of nobody's wife on social media. You got no business chatting back and forth. You got no business texting back and forth with somebody's wife. You got no business doing that. Amen. You got no business meeting with a woman in a room by yourself. You got no business doing that. You better be careful, preachers. You better be careful. I'm just simply saying you better be careful. Amen. 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 Sin will get you. Boy, you look at that money. Yeah, and you're in a place of authority on your job. And you say, boy, that money would help me make my house payment this month. I'll borrow it and I'll pay it back. Let me tell you something. Your job is not a bank. And that money that you're over is not for you to borrow. And 9 times out of 10, when you borrow it, you'll get over your head and you can't pay it back. Don't do it. Don't do it. As a man told me one time, he called me up and he got talking to me. He said, preacher, I'll tell you what I did Sunday. He said, I need a pack of cigarettes. And he said, the man stopped at a store and said the man was the treasurer of the church and had the offering sitting there. He said, I reached that offering plate and got me enough money out to get me some cigarettes. And I'm going to give it back to church. I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I said, it's a wonder God don't kill you. I told him about it. Amen. I rattled his cage. I'm glad I did. Listen, brother, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, listen to me. They say now 30% of churches in America, this is not just Baptists, this is all denominations that call themselves a church. There's a statistic out there that 30% of the churches, the treasurers, are stealing out of the treasury. That is wicked as the devil himself. Amen. And you ought to get right with God if you're doing that. But I tell you, sin will get you. Amen. He said this. He said, in verse number 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The Bible said, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Then in verse 16, he said this, do not err, my beloved brethren. James 1:16, he said this, brethren, don't go astray. Don't get into sin. Don't get into this pornography. Don't get into money. Don't get into gambling. Don't get into stuff. The devil uses the opposite sex on preachers more than anything in the world. Listen, friend, keep your life clean. Steer clear. That's the doctrine of sin. Now listen, the sermon I preach today may not be popular, but I want you to know something, that I love you. Before you go away and saying how mean I was, I want you to know that I love you. Listen, if I did not love you, I would not preach this way. There's a lot more things I could preach. It'd be a lot easier. But I love you. I absolutely love you. And I want to help you. I really do. And then, if you're not saved, I want to see you come to the Lord. You say, preacher, how do I get victory over my sins? I'm saved, but I'm hooked in pornography. I'll tell you what, just quit doing it. That's how you get victory. Stay full of God. Stay full of the Bible. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, somebody needed what I had to say today. And Lord, I don't want to be harsh. Forgive me if I was. I don't want to be that way. I want to be kind. I want to help people. Lord, this is a hospital. This radio is a field of sick people. And we want to bring them sound doctrine, good health that will help them in this hour. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.